If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about banking in this episode and the upcoming episodes, hopefully, or inshallah, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we start our program, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And my guest speaker, Sheikh Javid, as always. Well, we'll ask questions related to financial matters, and Sheikh Javid kindly replies to those questions. Sheikh Javid, in the implementation of agreements between employees and employers, some companies and government departments deduct certain sums of money from the employees' salaries or wages.
Sure.
Of their, and deposit the same amount with some other banks for investment, probably for their future, for example, payment or something like that. Like they do that, like to ensure, for example, their life even after retirement. The employees get their share of the profit, of course, in proportion to their contributions. All right?
Yes.
So is this transaction correct, permissible? And what is the view on the profit made?
Well, I think we have discussed this time and again that if depositing the money with the bank take the form of a loan with the condition of getting the interest,
yes,
based on it, and or without or with the intention, you know, of getting the interest, then of course saving the money with the bank would be haram, and the interest gained, of course, would also be haram as a matter of religious duty, because it's nothing but riba. It is nothing but a usury that is gained. And of course, if a person makes deposits his money with such an intention or with such a stipulation, there is no doubt that the money is haram, because he cannot receive usury for the money which is deposited or which is kept with the bank. And therefore, if the bank is going to give him some money or some profit, the profit cannot be possessed,
mm-hmm,
and it cannot be used either, because it's not his property. It should be returned to the bank. The person who is using or taking or receiving usury cannot possess or take ownership of the profit. And of course, there's no objection, of course, to this savings if the intention is to, let's say, to join or to be part of a contract. Like for example, if you are investing your money and your intention is to fund, for example, a contract or fund a project,
mm-hmm,
and you are one of the partners involved in the contract, and you're one of the parties to the contract, in this case, it's not going to be riba. It is, you are, in fact, you are a partner, and the money you have deposited is actually working on you. It is on your behalf,
mm-hmm,
and you are a partner, you're a, mm-hmm, silent partner,
yes,
though you are not actively involved, but your money is there,
mm-hmm,
and you have signed a deal with the bank. So in that case, as we also touched on it in one of the previous episodes, that as long as you are a partner, or as long as you enter a Shari'i contract, there is no objection to receiving,
yes,
the profit.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us. La ilaha
illallah, Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and newly asked questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about financial matters, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's views. Well, Sheikh Tawid, is the bank management right or permitted to promise to grant banking facilities to the holders of savings accounts? Should they leave the money in their accounts intact, or say 6 months, for example? All right. Noting that this is done as an incentive to the customers to deposit their money in such accounts.
Well, there is no harm in such undertaking, and of course there is no harm either in the banks granting banking facilities as an incentive to the depositors, because the banks can, you know, create incentives and give something to the depositors, or to actually give such facilities in order to attract more clients, more depositors. And of course, as long as there is no condition, there is no stipulation, and the bank is giving facilities on its own accord, and there is no arrangement for it, there is no pre-condition, there is no condition involved, then there is no objection to the bank giving facilities to depositors, to people who invest, who put their money in the bank or for safekeeping, for any purposes. Because we do see also in Islamic Republic of Iran, many people deposit their money for safekeeping in the banks. And the banks, there's no riba, there is no stipulation for usury and such things, or any profit. So the bank, on its own choice and accord, gives a certain amount of something, or maybe a gift or something, to the depositors,
right?
And there's no objection, and there's no problem in this undertaking.
I see. Okay, another question, Sheikh Javid. Some bank employees whose job is to receive payments from their customers to settle, for example, their water bills, their electricity bills, are left with some money over and above the bill's amounts, all right?
Yes.
For example, some customers don't demand the change back, like when you pay, for example, for the fare, if you're a passenger to a taxi, for example, sometimes you pay, and then you may consider the rest of, or the rest of the change that some people expect back from the drivers, usually as a tip or something like that, you know?
Yes.
Well, is it permissible for the employee to have such amounts of money for themselves?
Well, the extra money should go to the to those who paid it in the first place, because it is their money, and it should be returned, if possible, to the people who left the money there on the desk. And the recipient should do whatever he can to return the fund or the money to the rightful owners if he knows them. Otherwise, I think he should be the money should be treated as a money of an anonymous owner, as an money whose owner remains to be unknown, majhulul malik. You know, what are we supposed to do with a property whose owner is not known? Of course, we should give it as we should give it as charity on behalf of the actual owner to the poor, to the needy. When we do not know the owner, or when the owner is unknown, or when the owner does not turn up, you know, sometimes the owner does not show himself.
Like when you find, for example, something lost.
Yes, you're
like a piece of earring which is lost, even if you announce it, for example,
for
some people have the habit of like writing down, for example, a note and like posted on different walls or lampposts, but nobody turns up, as you said.
Yeah, and when it comes to the banker mm-hmm. or the bank employee, he does not have the right to take it himself. Mm-hmm. Of course, unless he is sure that that the owner gave it to him,
yes,
he cannot receive it. He cannot take it. But if he's certain that the person who left the money on the desk, he simply gave it to him as a gift, there is no objection to him receiving it or taking it.
Yes. But very quick question, Sheikh Javed. Is it permissible to work as an auditor in a bank?
Of course, an auditor does not have anything to do with giving loan or receiving loan on interest. So it is obviously permissible for him to work as an auditor or someone who audits, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's no problem because he's not directly, even indirectly involved in giving or receiving loan on interest. So there is no objection to
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, for your nice answers to these questions. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سميع بصير.